There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, up and away. Here we go. Midday Mobile on this Thursday, Friday Eve edition of the show. I am on drugs as we get started here. What's the latest here? Let's see. We just did... Have you ever noticed that you take medicine, but you do drugs? I'm going to start just flipping it around. So I'm doing some Alka-Seltzer Plus Cold right now, man, in my rotation of things. It's been, you know, once again, here at the Western Mobile County Studios for the show today. Still means to get your text at 343-0106. And we'll take a phone call if we need to, but best to do text today or drop us one of those talkback messages through the FM Talk 106.5 app. Because maybe later I go into Theraflu, and at that point I won't even be able to. That's going to be for after the show. I get on the Theraflu. And by the way, what it is, I finally back, got the actual medical opinion. I could have told them anyway. It's old school. You know, I like to do things old school. Everybody's hip, all the new people, everybody does COVID. Friday night, so it'll be a week tomorrow when I started getting ill, I said, this is the dang old flu. Or maybe I said something, I did say flu. It's the flu. And I just confirmed by doctors today. So everybody knows, so had that on your betting card, there it is, the flu. And it doesn't go away for some reason. All right, coming up on the show today, John Sharp from AL.com joins us about 25 minutes from right now. Plus, as we get started, I want to kind of run through some of the top headlines and then some thoughts here I have on it. First of all, we talked a little bit about this at the end of the show yesterday. We'll revisit this today with the drones over New Jersey. What kind of Bush League Republic am I living in? That now the theory is the Iranians have a mothership off the coast, off the East Coast, off the Atlantic, in the Atlantic, and they're sending drones into New Jersey. We can't shoot those down. We'll get to that. Also, as all the talk about Mangione and him, the support for him out there, I wonder about the other side. What is it like for CEOs this Christmas? CEOs of unpopular companies. What is it like for that? I mean, when they go back to a Bushwood Country Club or whatever, right? What's it going to be like? Are they going to all have security? I mean, seriously, it's not just... If you look at what's going on online, it's not just the outpouring of support for Mangione, who, by everything I can see, he's still a suspect. You are innocent till proven guilty in our republic. Mangione killed him. But there's a lot of CEOs of unpopular companies. I looked up this story, and this is from about 2 years ago. So it's over at Yahoo Finance. So you know I had to do some digging. 15 most hated companies in America. Okay. 15 most hated companies in America. And I started going, are these people also in danger? And the first one on the list, as God is my witness, Dalton and Leanna, prepare yourselves, back in the studio, Shutterstock.com. Now, what they're doing at Shutterstock.com that has them the most hated company in America in 2022, I'm not sure. Would you be surprised if you heard the CEO of Shutterstock.com. Like, you know, I guess, isn't that where you upload your, right? Don't you like upload your pictures and then they kick them back out? Like, so if you want to have it printed, I think so. Or maybe something else. I thought it was like one of those companies, you know, everybody's got digital pictures, but you want to put something on the refrigerator or give something as a gift or something. Shutterstock.com. At least in 2022, the most hated company. It was not UHC. So I'm looking through. You figure, okay, It's 2022, not much changed. It's going to have to be, everything else is going to have to be healthcare companies. And it's not. American International Group, financial. Now, in the healthcare world, Johnson & Johnson did come up. Johnson & Johnson on the list. Netflix, now we're talking, right? Is the CEO of Netflix scared for their lives out there because they were the number 12 most hated company? This is, I don't have any current information. I'm going off 2022. Number 11 on the list that year, Uber. Do you think there would be a Mangione moment for the Uber CEO? Also on the list, Comcast Corporation. Do you think there's extra security there? ExxonMobil Corporation. Citigroup, now we're talking. BP, okay. Walmart. Are any of these hitting, like, have you seen the lineup of all the, other than Johnson & Johnson showing up, did you see the healthcare companies on? I didn't. So maybe they were asking different questions back then, but they weren't on there. Now, in the top five, here we go, the top five of the, out of the 15 most hated, now we went through 10, now we're at five. These are the five most hated companies. After Comcast and this, Dish Network. What would the story be like if there was an assassination attempt on the Dish Network? Not saying anybody should do this. On the Dish Network CEO. But Dish Network was on that list then as well. Bank of America at number four. Okay, so financials, right? So has anybody heard anything from Jamie Dimon here? What about BlackRock? Where are they on there? Oh, number three, Meta Platforms. So Zuckerberg at number three. We have yet to get to, in 2022, a single healthcare company on that as most hated. I mean, we've got Dish Network. We got Meta. Number two on the list, I have no idea. Chrysler. You know, now they, I guess Stellantis bottom, but Chrysler. So even beyond people's disdain for the companies already listed, Chrysler. Oh, if I could only get after the Chrysler CEO, I'd show them something. Chrysler number two. And in 2022, remember they wrote songs about it back then, United Airlines. So it just, I don't know, in looking at this today, this list, albeit 1.5 or 2 years old, doesn't list a single healthcare company. Your thoughts on that? We'll get those at 343-0106, 343-0106. Everybody, you look online, and I don't doubt it. I said it yesterday, that I understand where people's anger comes from with these healthcare companies, but it is interesting to me that it would be, I don't know, Chrysler on the list and not any healthcare company. Yeah, local rapper might possibly. Local rapper said, I thought it would be Olin Mills. You were close. Chrysler. Wait, listen. Now, here's somebody chiming in, unnamed texture. Chrysler sucks. That's why, especially in the 90s, early 2000s, my dad had a Ram that had, he put three transmissions in before they had 150,000 miles on it. Yeah. But does that resonate still in that list that was a year and a half ago to have Chrysler? Out of all those companies, you didn't see UHC, you didn't see bigger healthcare companies, you saw Dish TV and Chrysler. Let's see. Squirrel Vereen, you know how it is, the feelings would be different if the CEO or whatever top exec were not a white male. I don't know. I mean, the policies, I don't think the people that are out there cheering on a Mangione, right? But let's say this. Before the murder, I don't think the people that were mad with healthcare companies could have told you what the demographics were. Maybe it makes it easier from some of the woke folks online to go, oh, it's okay, it's a white male. It's okay that he's dead. Listen, it sounds like the guy's got other issues. You know, there were some investigations into him. I'm not saying he was any kind of saint. But it is interesting that, it's Chrysler that makes the list out there and not... Here's more people piling on Chrysler. Listen, David said, if you ever driven a Chrysler product, you understand why they were on the most hated list. I think I've driven one before, like as a rental or something like that, but I don't know. All right, we'll get more of these on the text line, 343-0106, when we come back. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, the number two most hated Dish TV. This story would be completely different if somebody had taken out the Dish Network CEO. Just saying that. All right. Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5 on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. John Sharp's going to join me here in just about 10 minutes or so. Got a lot to talk about with him. And then there's this, as we're on the Mancioni thing. And the, where is it here? Have I lost the story about the fashion story? Here it is. Let's see. This is what they are all wanting to wear. Did I overwrite? I brought up that stupid Albertsons Kroger story when it came up in the news, because like I told you, they didn't care back when they let Bass Pro Shops merge with Cabela's. No, they didn't care about antitrust then, but now it's they're going to fight it with, you know, big grocery. But okay, here it is. Yeah, it's from New York Post. It says the jacket worn by alleged United Healthcare shooter is flying off the shelves. Okay, so the jacket. Like I saw as many videos or, you know, still pictures of this guy. I didn't think, what jacket? What's he wearing? But it calls it a, this is for the people out LARPing. Okay. A green trucker jacket, similar to that of alleged United Healthcare killer, has reportedly surged in sales as the internet frenzy over his looks continues. According to Complex, somebody could tell me what is Complex. It's a fashion magazine or something. It said the Sherpa-lined hooded jacket from Levi's, which rings in at $225. So wait a second. Just help me for a second. So he is anti-corporation, right? I mean, it's in the manifesto. We knew he was at the Starbucks where he pulled his mask down that got the picture. Right beforehand, they caught him at a McDonald's and he was wearing a damn Levi's jacket. Some chank of era he is. It's reportedly surged in sales. According to Complex, a Sherpa-lined hooded jacket from Levi's, rings in $225, is flying off the shelves after a Reddit user speculated it was the same coat worn by the accused killer. Oh my God, let's get it. CCTV footage from the day CEO Brian Thompson's murder in Midtown shows the shooter was wearing this jacket. So, and now Levi's. So is it is Levi's now, should they stop? I mean, if we're going to use kind of woke mentality, should Levi's stop selling the jacket because people are doing it to celebrate a suspected murderer? They said even like it's selling out over on the Macy's website. Well, talking about places I don't go. On Tuesday, the garment per GQ, another place I don't read. I know you'd look at me and think I spend a lot of time with GQ, but I don't. It says on Tuesday, the garment was listed as unavailable, according to GQ. And then they brought it back. They had enough stock back, I guess, by today to get it selling again. At Kohl's, they say the Levi's jacket is going fast with more than 3,000 customers purchasing it. Amazon.com, they said, has a similar style. Of course, Amazon's probably going to have the... How is it, if you're going to get... If you're strange enough to want to pay homage or you think you're cool or edgy, you're going to wear the same jacket that the suspected murderer wore, but you don't get the actual jacket, right? Like, you wanted the Levi's, but you end up with the tough skins. Remember that, kids, from when we were young? Hey, mom and dad, Levi's are real cool. Oh, but they got Lee's for sale, Sean. We're getting Lee's for you. Nobody's wearing Lee's. You are. So the Amazon, just the decadence of our society. So Amazon has a knockoff version of the Levi's jacket that's selling out everywhere else. That they said the people on Reddit have added, they dubbed it killer fashion. So there you go. So if that was your Tickle Me Elmo for this year, like, you know, remember back when you'd have toys like Tickle Me Elmo or whatever, they'd sell out of the stores and people would be like, grown folks be fighting each other in the aisles for some time. No, you give me Tickle Me Elmo, my child. So this is, I guess, maybe the Tickle Me Elmo item of the year. What does that say about our society? I'm not exactly sure. I have my ideas. But that jacket. Now, listen, I can say I understand a little bit of this. I mean, you get historical figures and you want to kind of, you know, dress up like them. I mean, I guess the infamous look. I mean, after all these years, I'm still rocking the Napoleon stuff, right? With the hat and putting my hand in the jacket thing. I mean, so I get it a little bit, I guess, but it is interesting. So two things, they're selling out this jacket that he wore around the stores, I guess, brick and mortar and online. And then just in time for that, Amazon has a knockoff version that looks almost like it. Children of the 80s, y'all remember that stuff, like when there were certain things you had to have, like what was it, members only jackets, which I conned my grandparents in to get me one back in the 80s, but there was some knockoff version and my parents were all too sure, like, it's the same thing, son. I'm like, no, it isn't. It has to say members only because it was in some 80s show we saw. But yes, the Mangione jacket selling like hotcakes out there. All right, to the text line at 343-0106. Let's see. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh, my gosh, a lot of stuff. Okay, here we go. And how far back am I going in this? Okay, I got to move forward. Here we go, I think. Oh, thank you. Ashley from Loosedale said she had the very sore throat thing for about 10 days. I don't have the sore throat at this point. I just have the feel like not great, to put it in nice terms, since Friday. Let's see. Community Notes Wannabe says, important clarification, and this isn't just semantics. United Healthcare isn't a healthcare company, insurance financial company, but they don't provide healthcare. They deny it. I understand. I get, you know, it is semantics a little bit. Not saying you're semantic. I'm saying me saying it that way. They're a health insurance company. I'm aware of what they do. Maybe I said it the wrong way. So apology to you. But yes, I do know what they do. But more importantly, just give me a little something. Community Notes Wannabe, please react to Dish TV being the second most hated company in the country in 2022. Let's see. Yeah, so, and Michael says, I figure State Farm would have been the most hated. I thought Chrysler was a thing of the past with those hideous wagons. Listen, the Chrysler's thing I get, but that thing was, if we were taking this poll in the 80s, right, or 90s, or maybe even early 2000, but that poll was like a year and a half ago, and they're still like, yeah, Chrysler. Let's see. Local rapper says, Pump It Up should be on that list. Pump It Up should be on that list. A 10 a.m. Saturday party will ruin your weekend. Back-to-back parties with a present. Listen, the Pump It Up. I guess local rapper, we need to translate, although I think most of the people in the audience have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews or friends' kids or something. Pump It Up is a place designed to get the children, get energy out, and to torture the parents. And you're right, local rapper, I've been there. It's 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. You're like, great. Scrovarine said, is that jacket maker, which is Levi's, by the way, Levi's, is a jacket maker going to condemn Luigi's wearing of the jacket like Black Rifle Coffee reacted to Rittenhouse? Don't know, man. Don't know. But I do like the nuanced part of it, that in the story about them selling out everywhere, they want to point out Amazon has a jacket that's almost like it. I mean, if you're going to homage a killer, go ahead and get the name brand. John Sharp on the way next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. Yeah, a lot of fashion talk here. We can come back to this. Maybe we will next hour. More on the suspected shooter of the CEO of United Healthcare. But it was just the story. You know, you have a main story. And we're about to talk to a friend of mine who is in the business of writing main stories. And then other people will take work like John's and then make ancillary stories. So be like, yeah, well, what about this? So it was the main story about this suspected murderer. And then they did the story like, what's he wearing? And how they're selling out online of the jacket that this Brian Mangione had on. And then the thing that I guess that left me in kind of stitches, you know, I guess gallows humor here, about it was the fact that, you know, they talked about how it was sold out at Macy's and how Kohl's, it was a limited, amount. And then they had to have a line in there. Maybe Bezos paid for it. Said, Amazon doesn't have that Levi's jacket, but has one that looks a lot like it. Like, if you're going to LARP, what is that, live action role play? If you're going to LARP about something, dress up like you're, like, don't you get the name brand? I asked this question. This is why John will one day probably refuse to come on the air with me. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. What are you LARPing about today?
Well, I mean, one of the stories I had was that they're selling out that jacket the Mangione had on. That it's like selling out online in brick and mortar stores. And they, it was a story about like, hey, Kohl's had to, you know, discontinue it, but they brought it back online. They're almost sold out at Macy's. You know, it's like everybody's buying up this Levi's jacket and that he was wearing. Because somebody on Reddit figured out what jacket is. And then like a bunch of people for some reason want to wear the jacket that the suspected murderer was wearing. But the thing that really cracked me up with the whole story is there's one line in it where it's like, from Amazon, they don't have the exact jacket, John, but they got one that looks a lot like it. Like if you're going to dress up as a murderer, if that's your fashion thing, don't you think you get the brand name? You don't get one that just kind of looks like it?
Yeah, I agree. But this all goes into the whole 'tis the season. We're in a Christmas season, which we're trying to find certain things online, and we just can't. And that's where I'm at. That's kind of what pops in my head during this explanation.
Is it like the Tickle Me Elmo from back in the day? Like, no, that's the murderer's jacket. That's the last one. I want it. No, I want it. And they're fighting in the aisles.
Right, just like on the movie Bad Santa when he goes for that elephant.
<That's right. laughs> Watch that this year. I haven't seen it in a while. All right, John. So this is why one day I'll tell y'all that my friend John just will not take my calls. But for right now, he still is. So let's get to it. And one of the perennial conversations you and I have had over the – is it a decade? I'm probably fair to say. A question about the Civic Center, what's going to happen? You have a headline up now. Construction timeline for Mobile's new $300 million Civic Center arena revealed. All right, reveal it to us. When are they going to get this thing done? And please tell me it's going to be more of this on time and under budget.
Well, the irony is that everything's going to come to a head at Mardi Gras. So we'll be talking about this through the month of February. I think a lot of Mardi Gras mystic societies will be grumbling because there won't be a civic center and there'll be their alternative. We'll have a logistical issue in the month of February. Let's put it that way. That's going to be a story that I think a lot of folks will be talking about here locally. Mm-hmm. You know, how these Mardi Gras balls will be handled without the Civic Center for the first time in 50-some-odd years. It's been a long time. So we have a changing face of Mardi Gras this year. But, yeah, February 26th is a big date in which was thrown out there in which the construction contract will be awarded by the city council. And then the plan is for a March 12th construction date to begin, and of course, I think Mardi Gras is the 1st of March this year. So we're talking the approval of the construction contract, and we celebrate Mardi Gras, and then we start building the new arena by the middle of March. And so that's kind of the timeline there. We still don't know some very key things about this project.
Hey, John, did I lose you? See if we lost John there or if John's back on, if y'all will let me know. Maybe we just lost it out here on our end. I don't know. Tell you what, I'll give you all a second back there. And by the way, as we get John back on the air, the story I mentioned earlier, I just want to point this out. National News today. It's all about this judge has decided, so they're not doing the Albertsons, Kroger, which, by the way, two, I would say, subpar grocery stores, okay? I mean, dirty floor grocery stores. But these two grocery stores are being not allowed to merge, right? They're not allowed to pull off their merger here. Well, let me point something out here. That when Cabela's and Bass Pro wanted to merge, right, which gives, we broke up these big conglomerates, you know, in our country back in the day, the Carnegies and the Mellon, we broke these things up, but they let Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's merge. And I'm going to fight it the whole time, but nevertheless. So in addition to that, they today said, well, you can't, they're not going to let the merger between Albertson and Kroger's go through. So I don't know. There has to be something to it. John, you with me? All right, tell you what, actually, let's run the news. We'll come back, and we'll come back more with John Sharp from AL.com.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, and glad to get the phone lines back up and connected. I'll tell you, it was strange here. As my good friend Mike Ward was bravely dropping off some shrimp here. He entered my home. You guys on the air here. And entered my home like one of those shows where they're trying to breach a booby trap building or something like that. And he was trying not to hit the flu trap as he came in. And the second he opened the door, then the phone line went out. So, John, I thought it was something Mike Ward did. So, but it's not. It's not his fault, not your fault. So let's get back to it.
All right. Sounds good. Civic Center. And yes.
That's right. I remember that's where I left my bookmark. Yes.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, basically, we got some unanswered issues that are forthcoming, being one of them being the final cost of the Civic Center project. It's been estimated up at around $300 million, perhaps even below that. You know, talking to Councilman Reynolds and Councilman Carroll, a few others, is they feel pretty confident in where we're at right now with this estimate. All along, they've hired Volkert to kind of handle the management of this project to keep them online as far as budgeting goes. I don't think they're anticipating any last-minute sticker shock on it, but that's not to say that could not happen. We don't know yet. You know, it was interesting. Dr. Bronner mentioned concerns about what terrorists might mean on the ongoing construction of the State House up in Montgomery. So I thought to myself, well, what could that mean for the Civic Center project? I don't know. I don't know if that even comes into the equation.
What would it mean for the bridge? Not, yeah, the bridge is the one I would think if there's
anything.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, this
we'll bring America to its knees. We'll bring America to its knees and shut down the Civic Center. That'll get them. That'll show America. I don't know that that's on their to-do list.
No. So, but at any rate, so in a nutshell, I think we still have several milestones that have to be released. One of them is also firming up the final, you know, bond amount, how much the city's going to borrow on this. Standard & Poor's and Moody's are supposed to come into Mobile and do an analysis, a financial analysis of this project in January. So it's kind of like we're going through this like step by step, strategically, all the way up until the end of February. Oh, actually, the bids will be released in early February, and then the final bids will be awarded at the end of February. February, I think the date was 26. And so, yeah, we have several steps here that need to be taken until we have groundbreaking, which looks to be at this point around mid-March. And there is a tight timeline on all this, so it's not like the council can run askew of it. If that happens, then the entire Mardi Gras 2027, I believe it is, would be at risk as far as not having a civic center to hold the balls and so on and so forth. That because the plan is to get this new arena facility open in time for Mardi Gras in 2027, and it's an early Mardi Gras that year. So if you fast forward a couple of years from now, we'll be talking about, well, wait a minute here, you know, Fat Tuesday's in early February, so Right. Not like this year, where it's in the month of March, and you know, you talk about a construction project like this, you know, completing those punch list items within a tight time frame. So, you know, it is. I think the council really wants to stick to this tight schedule. They want to move forward, and they want to get this thing under construction by March, because, you know, we're also assuming no weather issues that could delay the project significantly between now and 2 years from now. So, yeah, I think, you know, this is where we're headed. Yeah, you know, like Councilman Reynolds mentioned to me as well, he says, you know, there's not really much of a no-go position the city can take at this point. I mean, the current Civic Center is being demolished.
Remember when you and I talked, I know your job as a journalist is, quote, the lawmakers that say that, but you and I talked about this 2 months ago. Once they do the demolition, then they kind of got you by the stuff there, right? to when it comes to negotiating. Well, okay, fine, we'll just walk away. You just don't want another you know, venue. That's fine. Whatever. That's fine.
Well, that's the reason why I think the city council went and they hired Volker to handle, you know, pretty much the management of this project for them. They didn't want to just go out there on their own on it, because of that scenario that you just mentioned. So they got a company that's out there as well. And we also found out that Oakview Group, OVG, that's handling the management of the new Civic Center, but currently managing the Sanger and the Convention Center, they are going to be providing somewhere around, I think it was $15 million, and that around that amount into the construction project. I think it'll be divided two separate tranches into that during the course of construction. But about set $15 million. So you got some private investment going into this project now as well. It's not just strictly the taxpayer. So things are starting to firm up. We're starting to get a little bit more clarity where this is at. I think the big thing, though, is to know what the total dollar amount's going to be on this project, and then what the final design will look like. I think there's been some criticism about, you know, the building looks bland. But, I think some of those issues, I mean, you know, will it be lighted? I mean, that's interesting to know. I don't know that. That's a good question. But there are some final design elements that need to be fleshed out as well. And my understanding is those could be coming out soon. So, yes, it's a process where we're at here in the month of December to get to where they want to be breaking ground in March. Not much time there, but this is going to be out in the public a lot in the next 2 months. And so, this is a big deal.
Well, I mean, it's no pocket park, but it is a big deal on its own.
But, yeah,
I think I had more fun saying, because I'm 12 years old, I had more fun saying pocket park over the last couple of days. So what makes, did you, in your story, did you define what actually makes it you report about it, but what makes a pocket park?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, it's a park, but it's a small park. I mean, pocket denotes the word small. I mean, it's
not, but I mean, different size pockets.
Basically, well, that's, well, yeah, I mean, the big old overhaul park.
That's right. But, I don't know how big, yeah.
Right. But it's a plaza, basically, is what we're talking about here. And it's something that I don't think, you know, is going to be a destination for a lot of folks. But interestingly, it does, and I think one of the things that was kind of minimized in the description of this park is that it is real close to Mardi Gras, the Mardi Gras Park, and that's got a bigger crowd over a period of years. It's got drawn some big name acts down there for concerts. Mm-hmm. I think Nelly put on a concert down there for the Senior Bowl. It's becoming utilized more and more and more, which I think was Mayor Stimson's vision back in 2015, 2016 when that park was under development. So what you would have is this plaza that's kind of a place to sit down, have lunch, that's adjoining a large park that's a lot of open green space, which really doesn't have anywhere to sit down, you know, like picnic tables and that sort of thing. So I think that's where this plaza would be more utilized, I believe, by the public, is those that would come down to Mardi Gras Park and would seek out somewhere to sit down and maybe have a picnic, lunch, or something along those lines next to Government Plaza. So it's kind of a little bit of an extension of Mardi Gras Park.
And speaking of the fair city of Mobile, my hometown here, let's talk about the municipal cycle here. We do actually have a name now. It's official with the announcement over the weekend of Steve Nodine.
Yes, he made that announcement on social media. There hasn't been any public announcement that I'm familiar with. But yes, he's cited that there are some obvious legal issues there. I dived into that a couple months ago. But yeah, there are a lot of questions there that, that need to be hashed out before, you know, away we go. But yeah, I mean, we are in this interesting situation right now where we have the holidays coming up. There's really been no influx of names coming out running for city office. I anticipate some of that happening after the new year. I don't anticipate too much of that happening between now and New Year's Day.
Yeah, the closer it gets, the more I'm backing off. I really did think there would be a couple, maybe a few names announced before the end of the year, just because I think this is going to be a fundraising slog, depending on what lane you're in, right? That they would be out there making official so they could raise money more easily, maybe, to get ready for what I think first and second quarter. We're going to have a very busy discussion on the Mobile mayoral race. I mean, when it's cold, we're going to be talking about the race that comes up, you know, to August.
Well, these races are not, I mean, especially the mayor's race is not a where that's an at-large race. I mean, that is not a cheap race to run. So, yeah, I would imagine those that are considering running are getting their ducks in a row. Also, I think there's probably a little bit of the discussions amongst the candidates. Are you running? Are you planning to run? Do I want to run against this person? You know, there's been a lot of names that were thrown out there just a little bit over a month ago. So, I mean, we're still kind of I think people are still trying to make sure everybody is, that you don't have any unexpected competition, I guess you could say. Someone that's politically aligned with someone else is not finding themselves both announcing they're running for mayor. So,
right, that's what I always wonder, too, if that's occurring. Yeah, it may be behind the scenes. You're right. I just wondered if it would happen ahead of time. Like, if you know, you and I are going to kind of be the same lane, you know, John and Sean running for mayor. I know John's thinking about it. I'm really thinking about it. I'm going to step out first, and that at least keeps John from maybe running because we're going to fundraise from the same pools or whatever.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, I've heard some names thrown out there. I would anticipate, you know, if there's not going to be any announcements before Christmas, then we'll get them right after the first of the year. I really anticipate that. I think there's a little bit, too, of that belief that political strategists would often tell you that there is that, we're not all that far removed from the presidential election cycle, and people, quite frankly, are heading into the holidays. This is not what they're thinking about. So if you make an announcement, how much of a splash is that going to have? Whereas we go into the month of January, people get back to work and you get a little bit more focused on the year ahead. And so, yeah, I think we'll see a little bit more of that, especially the city council races. I don't think we'll have anybody making any announcement anytime soon. So, but if you get to a mayor's race, I would anticipate January. You know, we'll have at least one big name coming out and going from there. You know, there's also been some folks that have mentioned interest in running that. You know, the question is whether or not they live in the city of Mobile. So you got to have that residency requirement sewed up as well. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not anticipating anything before Christmas, really. I just don't. I could be wrong, though, but I just don't.
It will be interesting when it happens, though. Like you point out, like city council. Let's say somebody from the city council runs for mayor, right? And then that's going to start movement on who might run to take that position, right? Or somebody at a county commission level runs for mayor, and then who would be? So, I mean, it does have a domino effect.
Yeah, indeed it does. And it'll be interesting to see from my perspective, Mobile versus like Baldwin County. I dived into this in a story this week where pretty much in Baldwin County, if you're running for city office, you're talking about growth management. That is the number one issue. I don't even think there's anything close. There could be cultural issues with the libraries and stuff, but I think mostly it's going to be focused primarily on growth management. I mean, we got meetings here right now in Baldwin County that are drawing hundreds of people shouting down a rezoning issue. Whereas in Mobile, it's going to be a little bit of, it'll be interesting which issue sticks. Will it be redevelopment of downtown? Will it be, you name it, taxes, crime. Crime's a big one. Public safety, and so on and so forth, economic development. So that, you know, it could run the gamut in Mobile. So it'll be interesting to see who picks up what issue and runs with it.
All right, John, people want to read these stories and more. How do they find you to read those stories? And then if they just want to, you know, talk some college football trash, where do they go?
Well, I'm on X at John Sharp 99. And you can find me there. I'm also on AL.com. I'm on Threads. Also now on Blue Sky. I'm trying to spread myself where I can, where everybody seems to be fracturing off on social media.
You'll be able the to balkanization. Find. That's good. I'm trying to spread myself thin instead of just getting thin. I'll just spread myself thin and see if that works out for me. John, good stuff. If I don't talk to you beforehand, Merry Christmas. But I have a feeling we'll talk before then.
All right. You too, Sean.
All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.